Okay, so verse 47. And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'll kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree and every dry tree in you. The blazing flame shall not be quenched, and all flesh faces from the south to the north shall be scorched by it. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then I said, ah, Lord God, they say to me, does he not speak parables? And then, of course, that was a prophecy that was also applied to Yeshua, that he would speak in parables. Yes, Daryl.
You mentioned earlier that this was your favorite, or one of your favorite chapters.
Yes.
Why?
Well, several things. One is that I find it very unique that he is going to be bringing all these things up to him on Tish B'Av, or the day following Tish B'Av. And he's saying, okay, you know, you're coming to inquire of me. You want to know what's going to happen, and you want me to answer your questions and answer your things. I'm talking about the Lord speaking through the prophet. And he says, didn't you pay any attention to yesterday's prayers? I mean, why was Jerusalem destroyed? Why are you lamenting? Because you sinned. And then he takes them through this historical process of in Egypt, and I gave a covenant with you, but yet you wanted to go after your idols. And then I took you out in the wilderness. I gave a covenant with you, but you wanted to go after your idols. You wouldn't walk in my ways. You wouldn't keep my Sabbaths. And then he takes them straight on through, and then he jumps to the future, and he says, okay, in spite of all that, I will regather you. I'm going to regather you. I'm going to make you pass under the rod. He uses the direct terminology of Rosh Hashanah. He says, I'll take you out into the wilderness away from here. I'm going to lead you out, and a flame is going to come and devour. And I'll return you to my land. And I've always just really loved the message that was there. And see the parallels that, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. That which happened before happens again. And we've all committed the same things. It's just one of my favorite chapters. Any more?
Okay, yeah. So it's a devastation for what's happened, but hope for the future?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a very, the timing of his message is one that has peculiar impact of you know, him choosing the day to be able to put this message forth. Okay, chapter 21. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, preach against the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you, and I'll draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off both righteous and wicked from you. Because I'll cut off both righteous and wicked from you, therefore my sword shall go out of its sheath against all flesh from south to north. That all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath, it shall not return any more. Sigh therefore, son of man, with a breaking heart, and sigh with bitterness before their eyes. And it shall be when they say to you, why are you sighing, that you shall answer, because of the news. When it comes, every heart will melt. All hands will be feeble. Every spirit will faint. All knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be brought to pass, says the Lord God. So he's telling them, bad news is coming. When it comes, it's going to take your breath away. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord. Say, a sword is sharpened and also polished, sharpened to make a dreadful slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Should we then make mirth? It despises the scepter of my son, as it does all wood. And has given it to be polished, that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened and is polished to be given into the hand of the slayer. Cry and wail, son of man, for be against my people, against all the princes of Israel. Terrors, including the sword, will be against my people. Therefore, strike your thigh. Now, to strike the thigh means to make a covenant. It is a symbolic gesture. And to strike the thigh is to swear an oath. Now, why the thigh? Well, what did you wear on the thigh? The sword. You, by your weapon that you swore an oath. And so This expression, by the way, if you'd like to look into that type of expression, it is covered in a book by Clay Trumbull called The Blood Covenant. Because it is a testing, and what if the sword despises even the scepter? The scepter shall be no more, says the Lord God. You therefore, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. The third time let the sword do double damage. It is the sword that slays, the great men that enters their private chambers. I have set the point of the sword against all their gates, that the heart may melt and many may stumble. Ah, it is made bright, it is grasped for slaughter. Swords at the ready, thrust right, set your blade, thrust left, wherever your edge is ordered. I also will beat my fists together, and I'll cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, this was fulfilled several times in the history of Israel. It was definitely fulfilled in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and it was the third time. Remember, the prophet struck his hands together three times, and the third time was the most violent. And we had three times that the people were carried away into captivity. The final time, the king of Babylon said, enough is enough. Destroy the city. Burn the temple. We had the same thing happen concerning the Romans. As the Romans came, and God allowed them to go in and totally destroy the city. It is prophesied yet again in the future to happen. Hold your hand and turn over to the book of Zechariah chapter 14. And here we have verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So where it says, for I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. Who is this involving? First off, who is inside Jerusalem? Who's inside? Can't be the Jews, because the Jews left at the halfway point. They fled from the false Messiah, and they returned back with him. So if it's not Israel, who's inside? It's the false Messiah. It's the false Messiah and his armies. And it says, for I'll gather all nations against them, against Jerusalem. They're actually coming up to fight against the false Messiah. It's very similar in my mind to the way it was in World War II, where the nations were assembled against Berlin, against Hitler and his troops, and they had retreated and retreated and retreated and retreated. And I remember the accounts about, reading the accounts and seeing the newsreels and so forth about how that the Russians had entered the such and such sector of the city, and that the Allies were on the other side of the city. The Germans were trying to get over to the Allies before the Russians would catch them. But it's very similar to that half of the city has fallen. The women are ravished and so forth and so forth. But it is not the Jerusalem of the believers. It's not the Jerusalem of Yeshua. Yeshua is on the outside, and he will come, he will show up on the Mount of Olives, and he will fight not only against the false Messiah in the city, wherever he's holding out, but also all the nations that are surrounding. So let's go back to the book of Yehezkel, verse 18, chapter 21, verse 18. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, and son of man, appoint for yourself two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. Both of them shall go from the same land. Make a sign, put it at the head of the road to the city. Appoint a road for the sword to go to Rabbah of the Ammonites. Now that is present day Amman, Jordan. Amman, Jordan is the ancient Rabbah. And to Yehuda, into fortified Jerusalem. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, at the fork of the two roads, to use divination. He shakes the arrows. He consults the images. He looks at the liver. In his right hand is the divination for Jerusalem, to set up battering rams, to call for slaughter, to lift The voice was shouting to set battering rams against the gates, to heap up a siege mound, and to build a wall. Now, more than likely, the place that Nebuchadnezzar is being prophesied to perform this is right here at Jericho. If he was at Jericho, having come down from the north, coming down the Jordan River Road, if he is at Jericho, then Jerusalem would be to the right. Would you notice? And Rabbah would be to his left. It's the porting of the roads. And the modern road that you take from Jerusalem to Amman, Jordan, is not a modern road at all. It's just been paved. It's an ancient road. We use the same road today that was used back in the days of King David, because you have mountains that are there that kind of define the way that the roads go. Of course, they have cut over certain areas and things where they would go through winding valleys at times, but it's basically the same thing. Okay, once again, I want to read verse 21. For the king of Babylon stands at the porting of the road, at the fork of the two roads, to use divination. He shakes the arrows, he consults the images, he looks at the liver. In his right hand is the divination for Jerusalem, to set up battering rams, to call for slaughter, to lift the voice with shouting, to set battering rams against the gates, to heap up a siege mound, and to build a wall. And it shall be to them like a false divination in the eyes of those who have sworn oaths with them, but he will bring their iniquity to remembrance, that they may be taken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that you transgress, and that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doings your sins appear, because you have come to remembrance, you shall be taken in hand. We're going to stop before we read verses 25 to 27. Jerusalem at this time was filled with false prophets. We especially learn this from the prophet Jeremiah. The prophets were prophesying what the king wanted to hear. They were prophesying what the princes wanted to hear. That everything's going to be all right. That the Babylonians will not defeat this city. That we are going to survive. And at one point, Nebuchadnezzar even pulls away, and it looks like their prophecies were true. There's a very interesting set of letters that were found at Lachish. Lachish sits in the Shephelah Valley, which, going from Jerusalem and heading towards the coast of the Mediterranean, you would take a valley. So you'd be heading west. You would take a valley that is known as the Shephelah Valley. The Shephelah Valley means the low hills. It's very similar to the hills that you have out around the Austin, Texas area. And this whole valley has all types of fortifications on top of just about every major hill. You have at Lachish, you have at Libna, Mereshah, at Mereshet Gat, Azekah. It's just a whole string of these things. And Lachish was very, very significant in the war, actually three separate wars: the war against the Canaanites to take the land, then the war against the Assyrians, where Lachish fell. It was one of the last two to fall, Lachish and then Libna, Isaiah 36 and Isaiah 37, and then against the Babylonians in the 7th century, where Lachish and Azekah were the last to stand. Now, they found this series of letters that they call the Lachish letters. And they found them at the gate of Lachish. Lachish has this gigantic gate. And they have reconstructed the gate. When the archaeologists went in there, the first archaeologist was a man named Starkey. He was a British archaeologist, and he was murdered by the Arabs. The next major archaeologist that came to work there was a man named David Ussishkin. And I've had the privilege, the honor of meeting David several times. We talked on the telephone. He's sent me a letter or two, and I've interviewed him several times on television. I really have tremendous respect for him, and Lachish has always been one of my favorite places. At any rate, they found there in the gate of Lachish, they found broken pieces of pottery with letters that were being composed on the pottery. And we call this pottery Ashtaka. And what they believe is that paper was very valuable. It was very scarce, very valuable. And they were under siege, and so, you know, you're going to kind of hold on to anything. So they were trying to draft a letter, and rather than use up the valuable paper, the draft copy, they were writing on this pottery. And what they found was like three or four versions of one letter. That's what has led them to believe this. But at any rate, they are trying an officer. And this officer was going to go out, apparently, and surrendered to the Babylonians because he believed the prophet. Now, the prophet has to be Jeremiah, who was saying, there will be no peace. You will be destroyed. You will fall. If you want to survive, believe God and go out and surrender. But the rest of the country was following the false prophets. Peace, safety. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail does upon a woman with child. You remember the passage out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But we have part of the judgment that is coming against Jerusalem in the days of Nebuchadnezzar was because of the false prophets and because the people believed the false prophets. In the days of the false Messiah, there should be a parallel to this. The prophets who will prophesy peace and safety. Verse 25, now to you, O profane, wicked prince of Israel. This is one of the main passages that we learn that the false Messiah will be of Jewish descent. Whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end. Thus says the Lord God, remove the turban. Take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the lowly and abase the exalted. Overthrown, overthrown. I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he, Yeshua, comes, whose right it is, and I will give it to him. And you, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach. And say, a sword is drawn, polished for slaughter, for consuming, for flashing. While they see vain visions for you, while they divine a lie to you, to bring you on the necks of the wicked, the slain, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end. Return it to its sheath. I will judge you in the place where you were created, in the land of your nativity. I will pour out my indignation on you. I will blow against you with the fire of my wrath and deliver you into the hands of brutal men who are skillful to destroy. You shall be fuel for the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall not be remembered, for I, the Lord, has spoken. Chapter 22. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, now, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? And do you notice how often he's saying that? He said exactly the same thing over here in chapter 20. And it says, verse 4, will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? And here he says, now, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Yes, show her all her abominations. Thus says the Lord God, the city sheds blood in her own midst, that her time may come, and she makes idols within herself to defile herself. You have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and have defiled yourself with the idols which you have made. You caused your days to draw near and have come to the end of your years. Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mockery to all countries. Those near and those far from you will mock you as infamous and full of tumult. Look, the princes of Israel, each one has used his power to shed blood in you. If you, in you, they have made light of father and mother. In your midst they have oppressed the stranger. In you they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. In you are men who slander to cause bloodshed. In you are those who eat on the mountains. In other words, again, a reference to the idolatry. In your midst they commit lewdness. In you men uncover their father's nakedness. Okay, this is an allusion to homosexuality. In you they violate women who are set apart during their impurity. One commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another lewdly defiles his daughter-in-law. And another in you violates his sister, his father's daughter. In you they take bribes to shed blood. You take usury and increase. You have made profit from your neighbors by extortion and forgotten me, says the Lord God. Behold, therefore, I beat my feast at the dishonest prophet, which you have made, and at the bloodshed which has been in your midst. Can your heart endure? Can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, has spoken and will do it. I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you throughout the countries, and remove your filthiness completely from you. You shall defile yourself in the sight of the nations, then you shall know that I am the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. They are all bronze, tin, iron, and lead. In the midst of a furnace, they have become dross from silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I'll gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as men gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, and tin into the midst of a furnace to blow fire on it, to melt it. So will I gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I'll leave you there and melt you. Yes, I'll gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. As silver is melted in the midst of a furnace, so shall you be melted in its midst. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you. Hold your hand here and turn back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, and it says verse 4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. It's prophecy for when Messiah has returned. Go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. Zechariah, chapter 13. And it says, in that day a fountain, verse 1, shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I'll cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live, because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall be that in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive. But he will say, I am no prophet, I am a farmer, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And someone will say to him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he'll answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I'll turn my hand against the little ones. It shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. Back to Ezekiel, chapter 22 and verse 23. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The day of indignation is the same thing as the tribulation. You have numbers of times that is called by the term indignation. I want to give you this term. Take me a moment to locate it. This is chapter 22 and verse 24. Is that correct? No, I'm there. Here it says she has not been rained upon on the day of fury. And the term in Hebrew is that was 24. Okay. Ben-Adam, it starts off, is that right? Yeah. Ben-Adam, Amor lo et, Eretz lo mitahara, Kaya lo gushma bayom, okay, yom, za'am, Z-A-A-M, za'am. Z-A-A-M. Yom Za'am. Now, let me check something real quick. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 26. And in verse 21, it says, verse 20, come my people, enter your heder, your chambers, shut your doors behind you, hide yourself as it were for a little moment until the indignation is past.
Has wrath in both places.
Has wrath. Mm-hmm. Okay.
NIV.
Let's see. I'm going to check it in Hebrew in the Jerusalem Bible.
It says, hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by.
Okay. Yeah, here it has in the Jerusalem Bible, until the indignation be overpassed. Now, indignation is being used as not just he's indignant, but as a time period, as a name for time period. And
that's the way it's used in Isaiah in my Bible, because it says, hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by, which is kind of a time period also.
Okay. We got a minute? Yes, it's the word Zayam, exactly the same word. So one of the Hebrew names for the tribulation period is Yom Zayam. And it's a synonym for the time of the birth pains, a synonym for the time of trouble. Okay, let's go back over here to Ezekiel. And what verse were we in here in Ezekiel? 24. Yes, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. Now, if you remember that it did not rain in the first 3.5 years. That was then the prophecy that you see in Revelation chapter 11 of the two witnesses, that in the days of their prophecy, it would not rain for that period. Obviously, it also does not rain in the last 3.5 years. So we have 7 years of drought.